Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata for our very first conversation of the new year.
Happy New Year, Mark.
Same to you. The cover story of the January issue is titled Bespoke Buffalo, featuring stories about a variety of commodities from furniture to hats, even perfume, all custom made in Buffalo by people working in small studios and workshops. Now, I got to admit, I was not familiar with the term bespoke, so I Googled it and found out it does refer to items someone purchases that are not made in factories but are drafted from scratch for a particular consumer.
Right, and I think it dates back to you speak for it, meaning that you order it for yourself. And also pretty much the same as custom made, I think, is a good synonym for bespoke. And there is a fine line between bespoke items and then just regular handcrafted items that we buy all the time. But they're handcrafted, but then they're put out to be sold, and you don't get to change them just for yourself. Whereas with your custom or your bespoke item, you work with a craft person to make sure that the item is just for you. And of course, a lot of this has been going on with jewelers and suit makers and furniture makers for many, many decades. So it's not new.
Well, please check out Buffalo Spree for the names of all the artisans who are profiled. I was already familiar with one of them, Gary Witkowski,
yes,
who has earned a reputation as Buffalo's premier haberdasher.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. Is that the same as hat maker?
I think so, isn't it? Or am I wrong on that?
I think
he runs a haberdashery.
Okay. Well, so. All right. I thought that could be clothing as well, but I could be wrong. In any case, Gary Witkowski. Now, we have, I think, run two other stories about Gary Witkowski, but Gary Witkowski is one of those guys that as soon as someone finds out that he exists, they immediately will come up to me and say, "You've got to run a story about this hat maker guy," because I guess no one can believe that someone who really is this famous in a way is working quietly in a little shop on the east side of Buffalo. No one can believe it. I mean, this guy is supplying hats to the cast of Boardwalk Empire and you know, lots of Hollywood movies. And he's depended upon by all these producers to create a lot of these period hats. It's and yet here he is right here in Buffalo.
And then I was amazed to learn that he did the hats for the Blues Brothers.
Oh yes,
so we're
yes.
talking 30 years of doing this.
Oh yes, yeah. He's well, yeah. Like I said, we wrote about him. He was just as famous 10 years ago when we ran our first story about him, and I'm guessing he was just as well known before that. But obviously he's just someone. If you're in the know, you know about him. If you're not, I bet a lot of people in Buffalo have no idea that this guy is there.
Mm. Also on your list is Richard Kegler, who is known not only for his company P22, but as the founder of the Western New York Book Arts Center. Now, we all can imagine a piece of custom-made furniture, a custom-made suit or hat, as we just talked about, but I was surprised to learn that Kegler has made a business of designing fonts, custom-made fonts that are found in all places, including the walls of Starbucks.
Yes, yes. Well, he is – well, first of all, this is kind of a paradox. Rich's first love is the book. And printing, old-style printing. But through that, through his love of how letterpress printing and how letters are formed and made, he begins to create digital fonts because that's how that's how fonts work now. So, but there is a great artistry in what he does, and a lot of his fonts are based on artists. There's an arts and craft font. There's an artist. There's a Cezanne font. That's I think one of the most famous ones that everyone uses of his, and there is a Marcel Duchamp font, and there is a John Cage font, including a John Cage silent version, which can't be seen. It's invisible. I don't think that's talked about in the article, but I happen to know about it.
Yeah.
And so it's a font that you could never see. So this is really an artist. This is a lover of the handmade. This is a lover of the unique. But whose fonts are digital and are reproduced and are sold and are used all over the world. So,
your article got me to thinking about fonts, because until personal computers came around, I'm sure many of us were even unaware of the term. We used our typewriter, and however that printed, but
whatever the typewriter gave you is what you got.
Yeah, but now we can select our own personalized fonts from so many that are listed in word processing packages, and it's just interesting how it's evolved.
Yeah, I was astounded once. I got a thank you note that actually used a typewriter, not even a Selectric, an old typewriter. Maybe I'm not sure. Maybe an Underwood, yes. Yeah. And you could tell because it needed a new ribbon. But, fonts are very much the tools of our trade in printmaking. And we never had the opportunity to use as many. And in fact, it gets you in a lot of trouble when it comes to graphic design because, another paradox, you really shouldn't use too many.
Okay. You would know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're really better off just using one or two fonts. You don't want to go crazy. You just need, if you need to make your impact with a display font, then don't use any other kind of fancy font because it's just going to be a mess.
Now, Richard Kegler designed the font of the new Buffalo Spree logo, which premiered in your January issue.
Yes. We've been meaning to change our logo for quite some time. The logo has been used in some form or another, the same logo for maybe as long as 40 years. Mm-hmm. So that's, and it was
time
dated.
For a change.
It was dated when I came to work for Spree in 1999. It was dated, 5 years ago. And so our graphic design department was really champing at the bit to change it. And we finally did. And so we're really happy with what Rich did for us. And this font is exclusive to us and him. He could use it.
You also profile someone who makes guitars out of cigar boxes.
Yes.
As well as an artisan who creates her own scents.
It's... you'll be surprised to know that there's actually a website called Cigar Box Nation, and there are a bunch of people who make guitars out of cigar boxes. And I guess this was quite common because when people couldn't afford a wooden guitar, then they would, and they wanted to make music, they would use what came to hand, reusing cigar boxes. And then the scent maker on Elmwood, I have personal experience. Well, my husband took our niece there, and she was just thrilled. They were visiting from out of town, and she had never seen a place where they would make a perfume for you and name it for you right there on the spot. And I guess she asks you questions about yourself, what things you like, and she comes up with some scents, and you try it and maybe change it a little bit, and then there you have a bottle of perfume.
Are most, if not all, the artisans you profiled able to earn a living by creating their respective items? Or is this a sideline for most?
Well, some of them, I think, make very good money. I've got to think that Gary Witkowski must do pretty well. I mean, if I were selling hats to, the producers of Boardwalk Empire, I would imagine that they would have enough budget to pay me a decent amount. I think one of our guitar makers, I don't know if it's the cigar, it may not be the cigar box maker, but the wooden guitar maker sells his to, although he doesn't like to name names, sells his to some rather famous musicians. So it depends. And then there are some very high-end furniture makers there, especially the, I'm not saying that they're millionaires, no. But I think they make a decent living. I think they can make a living from what they do without any other side job. And so that's pretty good.
And that's rewarding.
For a craftsperson, yes, because you're doing something that you absolutely love.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think a good amount of them actually do make enough money to live on it.
The January issue also has your annual listing of the top doctors in Western New York. Remind us once again of how this list is put together.
Well, it's not put together by us. It's put together by a New York firm called Castle Connolly, and they publish an actual book called Top Doctors or Best Doctors in America, Top or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they it's very simple the way they do it. They send out surveys to physicians that whom they have targeted as being physicians all over the country who would know who the good physicians are. And then they also select from physicians who have filled out questionnaires and indicated that they would like to participate in choosing. So this is all peer chosen. They don't even Castle Connolly. They don't pick it. It's physicians who pick the doctors. And then the physicians who contribute to this survey are simply asked if you or your family member had this particular problem, you know, because there's lots of specialties in here. Mm-hmm. Who would you send them to in your area? So it's very simple. And so
Do you notice if there's much change from year to year, or do the same names appear?
Maybe not from one year to the next year, but over a period of 5 years, absolutely. I have noticed new doctors coming on board the list who were not there before. It does change over time. Like, so over a period of 5 years, you're going to see significant change.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Mark Scott, WBFO News.